The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thank you once again for joining us. This is God Calling, as the announcer said. Father Joseph Menkhaus joining us, a newly minted priest, just about the most newly minted priest we've ever had on the program, Father. Welcome to God Calling.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
You were ordained this year.
That's right. Just about a month and a half ago.
Is it speeding by all of a sudden, or is it...
Yeah, you know, that first week really dragged, but then after that, you're just running, going. Everyone wants your attention. It's absolutely crazy that it's been a month and a half already.
Sure. Pastor's probably unloading stuff on you that he doesn't want to do.
You know it.
Yeah, seniority, right?
Yep.
The ordination was really beautiful.
It was amazing.
We carried it live here on the AM 1260 The Rock, and Father Doug Brown and I did commentary. But obviously, a very holy, but a celebration too. And I think thought that Bishop Mlesik hit that nail on the head nicely.
Absolutely, yeah. It was, you know, my first Mass was absolutely incredible. But walking out of ordination, I thought to myself, like, wow, I don't think I'll ever go to a Mass more beautiful than my ordination. Mm-hmm. Then the first Mass happened, but ordination was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful service. Well, tell me about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so my family grew up on the east side of Cleveland. So originally from Euclid, Ohio, St. Christine's was our home parish, one of those that got merged into mm-hmm. another parish. But then when I was in eighth grade, we moved to Cuyahoga Heights, that school district, and we ended up going to St. Monica Parish, which was where I was ordained from. So definitely a Clevelander at heart, but I've lived in different parts of Cleveland throughout my life.
You have some excellent priests there right now. Pretty good friends with Father Ted Marzell.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And of course, we played ball at the festival. And Father was their pitcher. It's just a beautiful, welcoming.
Oh, man. It was a great place to be raised up, not just as, you know, a potential priest, but it was a great place for our family to be raised in the faith and to be able to enter into and participate in a parish community.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you go to school there?
I did not, actually. I have seven younger siblings, so because of that, the spare funds weren't there for Catholic education, so we just went to public school, which was also a great opportunity for us growing up.
The religious education, though, continued, I'm assuming?
It pretty much came both from my parents, and then also annually we would go to the Apostolate for Family Consecrations, Catholic Family Land in the Steubenville area, so that was really the main crux of our religious ed growing up.
I think I know why you went to that.
Okay.
Tell us.
Well, my dad is involved with the apostolate, but way back when my parents first discovered it, they just found a place that was dedicated to families, and they, knowing that they wanted to have a large family, really put all their eggs into that basket. And so I've been going there since I was 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that big of a family, could you always get together for a meal, or was it?
You know, up until our high school years, that was pretty much the case. We would eat together. But once we got into high school sports and musicals and clubs and all that, it was a little bit more ships passing in the night. But, you know, Sunday was really our family day. So we'd go to Mass together and then come home, and usually my dad would make brunch for us. Mm-hmm. That was like our family meal every week.
As you talk to people in your parish now, or in your earlier work as a deacon, are families getting away from that? Is it getting harder and harder to meet fewer families who've actually take that time like we always did?
Sure, definitely. I mean, even my own generation, did not grow up that way. We didn't grow up having family meals. There wasn't quite the expectation that, like, all right, kids, you go play till 5, but then you got to get home for dinner. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that way, mostly because a lot of my contemporaries didn't have healthy family systems that they grew up in. And so actually, one of the things that we talk about all the time as a family is we've always got guests at our place. And it's not because we're anything amazing, but we had a healthy family growing up. And I think people are drawn naturally to that and want to be a part of that. So I know at least in my ministry, I try to encourage families not only to continue doing that, but to open up their doors to other people who, you know, didn't have that blessing in their lives.
How the world has changed. Now, I'm a lot older than you, that's for sure. I never knew anybody who was divorced.
Wow.
In the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
No kids had parents that were divorced. It was just, and I don't know what the percentages are now, but it's a very high percentage that
absolutely
were divorced.
Absolutely, yeah.
When did the call start? When did you first get an inkling?
Yeah, so my senior year of high school, my family was down at Catholic Family Land in the Steubenville area. And we were at Mass one day. So every day of the week at Family Land, you go to Mass as a family. And I remember I was sitting at Mass. I couldn't tell you what the priest was preaching on, but I remember sitting at Mass during the homily, and literally out of nowhere, I heard a voice in my heart say, you would enjoy doing that, the preaching, and you'd be good at it. Mm-hmm. And it scared the heck out of me.
Like, I could see why.
Yeah. I was a musician, an avid musician. I played a bunch of instruments. And so my plan going into my senior year was to look for a music school to go study, to end up studying music education, meet a nice girl, have a bunch of kids, and live happily ever after. So that voice terrified me.
Sure.
Later that day, I was walking around on the campus at the Apostolate and looked over under these trees where they had a whole line of priests hearing confessions. And I heard the same voice. You would enjoy doing that and you'd be good at it. And it just freaked me out. It was the last thing that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I ended up making a deal with God at the end of that week. I said, Lord, if I still feel that like tug on my heart in a week, I'll do something about it. And so a week later, after I'd been home, it was still there. And I ended up going online because I didn't know the first place to start. Like, I knew the priests in my parish a little bit, but didn't have a personal relationship mm-hmm. with them. And I just Googled Catholic Priesthood Cleveland. And it took me to a page for the diocesan vocation director, who at the time was and is now Father Mike McCandless. And I figured Father Mike McCandless was this like 80-year-old priest who didn't know how to check his email because the church was outdated and didn't pay attention to that kind of stuff. So I sent a real short, like, hi, Father Mike, interested in some reading materials about priesthood. Sincerely, Joe Mankhouse. And a half hour later, I got an email back. An hour later, we were on the phone. And that weekend, he came out to my parish to visit with me for the first time. Can you tell the church is desperate for priests, right? Like, and so I remember we met that first time. I shared just my story and a little bit about myself. And at the end of the conversation, the last thing I can remember him saying to me was, Joe, I really think you'd make a good candidate for Borromeo Seminary, which is the college seminary here in the right. Diocese of Cleveland. And I just remember being filled with like peace in my heart. It was just a really powerful moment for me. It was as if someone had shed light on the reason for my existence, which was really cool.
Yeah. It's funny in the program how many times we hear people say, so I made a deal with God. We've heard that a number of times here on the program.
Yeah.
Father, stay right there. We'll be back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski with Father Joe Mankhouse right here on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Joseph Mankhouse Jr. is our guest here on God Calling. Father, once again, thank you for joining us on God Calling. Father McCandless tells you that, maybe you'd be a good candidate. Okay, so what happens next?
Okay, so this is the middle of probably June or July of 2012. And I remember I was getting ready for my senior year of high school. So the plan, as I said, was to go study music. Mm-hmm. However, now with this new priesthood thing, it kind of changed everything. So for the next couple of weeks and months, we were meeting, me and Father Mike, and just talking about discernment, priesthood. He gave me a book. So I was working as like a janitor in our local park, and I'm reading the book and like, wow, priesthood sounds amazing. And then August 1 hits, soccer season starts, football season starts, marching band season starts. My senior year of high school starts with AP classes and different clubs and stuff that I was involved with. And I still went to church, but my prayer, my discernment, all of that just fell completely by mm-hmm. the wayside. Mm-hmm. I just stopped paying attention to what God wanted me to do and basically put all of my attention into music school. So I started visiting different schools like Baldwin-Wallace, Cleveland State, Akron U, and specifically Franciscan University. Because at the time, I'm not sure if they still do, but at the time they had a program for, it was called Sacred Music, which would be like, basically, if you want to be a church music director, you go study sacred music.
Sure.
I was just going around and visiting. And then the other distraction, too, was I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't want to be a priest. So what's the best thing to do if you don't want to be a priest? Go find a girlfriend. So I developed a relationship with a girl I was in high school with. And, you know, over time, just realized that, like, okay, I'm running away from something. I can tell that what I'm supposed to be doing is not what I'm doing right now. So I ended up ending that relationship. But so I'm going wrestling in my mind and in my heart between all these things and not necessarily paying attention to God. And it gets to the end of November. And for the last month or two, I'd been ignoring phone calls from Father McCandless because I didn't want anything to do with the seminary anymore. And I figured if I just stopped picking up, he'd stop calling.
No.
Right. He was tenacious. So it gets to the end of November. I'm watching a Cavs game. LeBron had just left, I think, the year before that. And so the Cavs were really...
Yes.
It was bad. But I get a phone call from Father McCandless, and for some reason, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to say, okay, it's time to tell him you're done. You don't want anything to do with seminary. So I get on the phone with him. I say, Father, you know, thanks so much for all your help and for the discernment and everything. I don't want to be a priest. It's just not for me. I can tell God doesn't want this for me. And he was very wise, and he said, okay, that's fine if that's your decision. But Joe, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and pray for a half hour and call me back with that being your final, whatever your final decision is, let me know, and I'll respect that. And I said, okay, fine. So I get off the phone, and I did not actually go and pray. I went and I talked to my mom. And my mom gave me, you know, the life-changing wisdom that only a mother can. And I just shared everything that was going on and in my heart. And she said, Joe, I don't know what God wants you to do with your life. She said, I don't have that special insight. But what I do know is that you're only going to be happy doing what God wants you to do with your life. It can't be what Joe wants you to do. It can't be what your mother wants you to do. It has to be what God wants you to do. So I'm like, fine, okay. I went back to my phone. I called Father Mike and I said, listen, Father, here's the deal. I really don't feel called to the seminary. And the other thing was, he wanted me to come on a come and see weekend that weekend to come and visit. There was one spot left. He's like, it's got your name on it. I know you're supposed to be here. So I told him, I said, Father, I really don't feel called to the seminary. And I know if I went right now, my heart wouldn't be open to it. I wouldn't be interested. I'd just shove it off. But here's the deal. In January, I'm going on another retreat called Teens Encounter Christ, a tech retreat. And I said, if I feel called to the seminary while I'm on that retreat, I promise I'll come and visit. So here I am making another deal, but this time with a priest instead of with God. So I go through Christmas and New Year's and everything. I'm telling my family I'm going to go to Franciscan and study sacred music. That was my plan. That was what everyone thought I was going to do. So I get to the end of December, and it's time for the tech retreat, right? I had a couple things on my mind. I was frustrated that I had to go on this retreat because my parents met on a tech retreat in the early 90s. My sister went on it a couple months before me, and she's younger than me, so I couldn't do anything that my sister did first. And then I also had all these AP tests coming up that I had to study for, and I had put everything off until this that weekend because it was Christmas break, so I wasn't doing anything.
Sure.
So I went into this tech retreat totally annoyed. Oh, and then I had a goal on the retreat. I had a lot of friends in high school who were like, who were women, but they all had boyfriends. And so I'm thinking ahead to prom, right? I'm like, I'm going to need a prom date. So maybe I could find a prom date on this retreat. I was very one-track minded. So I get to the retreat. I'm annoyed. They're doing icebreakers and playing weird games to get to know people and just everything that I did not enjoy at that time in my life. But over time throughout the day, I noticed that, there were other teenagers, other young people like me who were opening up and sharing their struggles in life, sharing their walk with the Lord, and the way in which the Lord had changed everything for them. And so that slowly opened my heart until the end of the day we had the opportunity to go to confession. And I'd been going to confession my whole life. My mom had forced us to go every month. However, there had been certain things that I had held back from God out of shame or fear or, you know, fear of condemnation from the priest. So I made this epic list of sins, just everything that I had ever done, because I was open at that moment. And so I went to the priest who I'd never met before, and confessed my sins, and I laid everything out. And he just stared at me for like 10 seconds, okay? First thing he says to me, first words out of his mouth were, "Joe, have you ever thought about being a priest? Because that sounds like a priest's confession." And I was floored.
Wow.
Like at that moment, it was like, okay, here in the sacrament, the priest in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, who I've just laid everything before, you know, lay down everything and let him transform it. It happened. Like that moment, that call, everything became clear to me. So I walked out of confession, very shook, but very like, okay, I got to do something with this. I got to move on this. So that was the moment where I knew I have to at least go visit, check out, and, you know, see if the seminary is really something I'm supposed to do with my life.
That priest was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad.
Yeah. We're going to pause right there because I'm very interested in you going to check out the seminary. We'll pick it up right after these breaks. Right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. I'm here every week at this time. Father Joe Mankhouse Jr. is joining us, a newly minted priest, as I said at the beginning. Father, after the youth retreat, you decided to go check out the seminary.
Yeah, so it was funny. After I walked out of confession, Father McCandless was actually there hearing confessions. So when he was finished with hearing the confessions he was hearing, I went up to him. I said, "Well, Father, I think we need to talk." He said, "Okay, sounds good." So we ended up having a conversation the following weekend. He came back out to my parish, and we didn't even fool around. Like, he actually brought the application for the seminary, and I started filling it out. But he set me up for a come and see weekend about 3 weeks later, at the beginning of February. And so I went to the seminary, and it was our Eucharistic devotions weekend. So when I got there, I had the opportunity to meet a whole bunch of seminarians. They had like a panel, so we were able to just meet guys and ask questions and stuff. And then throughout the weekend, they had all kinds of opportunities for Eucharistic adoration, which was just amazing and beautiful. And then a really significant part of it for me was I had a deep love for music and for praise and worship and for the beauty of the traditions of the church, especially the chant and stuff like that. I just remember there was a seminarian, or there were two seminarians who were going to be leading praise and worship Saturday night, late in the evening in front of our Eucharistic Lord. And they invited me to be a part of that, which for me was like the nail in the coffin because I was so afraid that I was going to have to leave behind this great gift that God had given me and that I love to use and to share with other people.
Music.
Right, to go and be a priest. But the very first thing I get asked to do for the seminary ever when I arrive is to play and praise God with the community.
For somebody listening who might be thinking about going on a visitation, sort of a weekend, maybe people think it's more serious than it is, or it's just nothing but praying, but it's a bunch of great guys.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I tell people is, like, I had this image in my mind, and perhaps for our listeners, you can kind of get this mental image of, like, a whole bunch of men in cassocks holding candles in their hands, walking around these ancient stone halls just chanting all day long.
Yeah.
Like, that was my image of the seminary. And when I got there, that was... I mean, we did chant a little bit, but it wasn't this like freaky monastic experience.
Echoing through the hallways.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, there were guys playing video games. There were guys enjoying themselves out on the basketball court. There were guys playing music. There were guys just hanging out in each other's rooms. And the thing that is so distinct about the seminary, my dad calls it the best fraternity in the world. But the thing that's so distinct about it is that there is truly a one spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is guiding the desires of each man to truly not just want to be a priest, but to discover what God wants them to do with their lives. And so here I was, who experienced this crazy call the summer before out of nowhere that freaked me out, and then experiencing the desire to not do that, but then experiencing the call in the confessional to like really consider being a priest. All of a sudden, I'm talking to other guys who had similar experiences, who in their own ways, the Holy Spirit had spoken to them. The words of the Father had been spoken to them to say, like, hey, I want you to consider this. I want you to consider a call to ministry, to be a shepherd, to be a father of all of the people that I've created in the world. So that experience of mutuality and like, you're not alone in this, that was what was so helpful and powerful for me as I entered into that place for the first time. And to realize, like you say, they're normal guys.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, again, some freaky monastic experience.
from that weekend to ordination, that's a long route.
Yeah.
a few bumps along the road?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I entered in the fall of 2013, did 4 years at John Carroll, and then 5 years, or John Carroll and Borromeo College Seminary,
mm-hmm.
And then 5 years at St. Mary's Seminary. And the best way I could describe it is, when it comes to seminary, a lot of people think you're just going to study and learn book knowledge, like any kind of school or engineering or something. But the reality is, the program for priestly formation, the documents of the church that govern seminary formation, talk about seminary being a time for you to have your heart formed into the heart of Jesus. And so I don't think anyone out there listening right now would deny the fact that that's a painful process, because all of us have our brokenness, our wounds, our trials, our struggles, our tribulations, our family histories, all the stuff that makes us human. All of that needs to be addressed and handed over into the heart of the one who is the divine physician to heal and form and melt and mold and make into something totally beautiful and brand new, which is awesome, but it does require the Paschal mystery, entering into the cross so that you can enter into the tomb, which then leads to the resurrection with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there were definitely challenging moments.
There are practical skills as well, because you're going to be dealing with people going through all of those things.
Sure.
And they're not religious folks, just in their married life, in their single life, whatever it is. You have to learn how to do that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A lot of psychology, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I probably only took 2 or 3 psych classes in college, but you pick up so much.
Sure.
Like the spiritual, they say grace builds on nature. So our nature, our humanity, needs to be addressed and dealt with so that we can then allow grace to enter in and change and transform and make all things new.
3 stages of prayer that I've heard of, which are the oral prayer,
yep,
then the mind,
yep,
and eventually kind of a conversion, the heart.
Yep.
Does that sum it up pretty well for you, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. There's the there's all kinds of different ways of analyzing what prayer is and how we journey through prayer, but one of the more traditional ones that I think even speaks to what you're saying is the purgative, the illuminative, and then the unitive. So starting with like, okay, this is my humanity, this is who I am, I need to be purged, enter mm-hmm. into the purgative, the cleansing, then you enter into the illuminative, like, oh my gosh, like the goodness of God and how good he is, and then finally the unitive, like, all right, now that I have been rid of that which holds me back, I can be illumined and enlightened to who God is, and then be finally united to him totally, to be assumed into God.
You've got a brother who's going to be entering this fall.
I do, yeah.
Seminary.
Nate, yeah.
Did he come to you looking for advice, or did he kind of have this kind of denial for a bit, or what was his story?
I'm not even entirely sure yet. It's one of those that's continuing to be told, but I think, I mean, he grew up around the seminary, so sure. He's 18 years old. When I entered, he was 9 years old. He's definitely been open to it, but I think especially in the last couple of years, his experience of growing in relationship with God through retreats, through programs like Catholic Family Land, Catholic Youth Summer Camp in Damascus, Mission Campus down in Columbus, and just realizing that, like, he's a beloved son of God and one whom the Father has great plans for. I think Nate would be the first to tell you right now, he's not sure if he's called to be a priest, but he knows he's called to go to the seminary to at least discern whether or not that's something God wants for him.
Father Joe Monkhouse, St. Bernadette's first assignment. People in Westlake are very fortunate. Glad to have you on God Calling.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this same time right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.